From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Mission District.
Fremont.
El Cerrito.
O-Town, baby.
Lake Merritt.
Temescal.
Tenderloin.
Treasure Island.
Richmond, California.
Coming up, we'll take a musical journey from Oakland all the way to the River Nile with the Nile Project.
What we realized was, wow, you know, maybe music in this case really is more than just music.
Then we speak with one of the founding musicians about how the project has grown beyond music.
If we can build this relationship, what could our Nile Basin look like? A connected Nile Basin, one where there were cultural relationships.
And we recreate an ancient Sudanese ritual in the South Bay.
It reminds me of my mom, my aunties, my grandma in Sudan. It's a warm feelings.
To East Africa and back, today on Cross Currents. Today, we're taking you on a tour, a journey from the Bay Area to East Africa and back again. We start in a bar in Oakland. Two friends, Egyptian-American ethnomusicologist Mina Girgis and his friend Ethiopian-American singer Makleet Hadero, were talking about the musical connections between their two home countries.
You know, in London or New York or San Francisco, we are each other's neighbors and friends and co-workers, and the fact that folks from everywhere are in those places means that we can hear each other's music, we can grow beyond being strangers in a very everyday way. And this just isn't true of life on the continent of Africa.
Back home in East Africa, Hadero says there are too many cultural barriers, but Girgis says there's a point of connection.
For me, the connection was the Nile. It's an organism made of 437 million people, 11 countries, some of the poorest countries in the world.
Nile waters are a source of stability, but also a source of conflict over how the water gets used and who gets to decide. Girgis and Hadero quickly realized music could be a bridge.
And we were like, well, you know, we have this river in common. Why don't we create a project that brings musicians from across the river together? Wouldn't that be amazing?
So they did. KALW's Julie Kane met up with some of those musicians on a reporting trip to Uganda last year. They were making music and getting ready for an East African concert tour. Here's what she heard.
Yeah. Do, it's do.
Lawrence, what is it?
In a quiet park in Kampala, Uganda, 14 musicians from 8 different East African countries sit under a tree.
Mi, sol, la, do, la, sol, mi, re, do. Is this tuning?
A Sudanese man in a long white robe plucks the metal strings of a harp he holds in his lap. Around him, people are playing Kenyan drums made of old oil cans, Ethiopian one-string violins, a Rwandan rattle made of a small gourd filled with seeds, a Burundian thumb piano, an Egyptian flute.
And this is what I have down.
Ugandan musician Lawrence Okello flips through the pages of a worn notebook. He plays a traditional stringed instrument called a dungu. He's a percussionist, and he sings. Right now, he's explaining his concept for a new song that all the musicians will create together.
This is what I would suggest for this piece, that we have a conflict, and then all of us will keep on adding flavors from the different cultures, but maintaining like the water that flows.
The musicians start translating Okello's ideas. Under this tree, at least 7 different languages are spoken, and 3 different tonal systems are used, which are like musical languages. People start fooling around with their instruments, and some singers gather. Chaos and conflict that resolve into harmony. reflection of what organizers hope will come from this project.
Most people don't think of East African countries as one region.
That's Nile project organizer Mina Girgas.
The paradigm that we're coming from is that all of these countries are really connected by the river, the longest river in the world, that is the source of life to many of them.
Under the tree, you can hear those connections.
The idea is just little when we divert and we go to your culture, give us that authentic touch of it. So that someone listens and that is Egypt. That is Rwanda. And then we divert and come back to the Nile and we continue, we proceed. We have a journey to make.
Collaboration is at the core of the project. Everyone gets the chance to lead, and everyone gets the chance to follow. No one musician or culture is in charge of what happens. Nile Project founder Macleet Hadero.
By getting musicians together from across the basin, by creating music together in a very egalitarian way, we can be a kind of model for the world that we want to see and the Nile Basin that we'd like to see.
That's a beautiful feeling. I love the way that just kind of evolved.
Under the direction of the Nile Project's musical director, Miles J, the songs written here will become part of a concert tour and an album called Jinja, after the Ugandan town at the source of the Nile.
Do you want to teach us those words?
Yeah.
Maybe now's the time. Okay.
Last year, the Nile Project's first album, Aswan, took its name from the Egyptian town at the river's end.
The same, but not Yaba, but Shuf.
One of this year's musicians is Rwandan singer and Inanga player Sophie Nzayisenga. Only one other person on the Nile Project speaks a version of her language, Burundian musician Stephen Sogo. During a break from rehearsing, the three of us sit at a picnic table in a shady courtyard. She tells me through her translator why music is important to her.
Music is like it's like a medicine. You know, even if you don't understand the language, but music heals.
All around us, musicians gather in small groups, playing new tunes, smoking cigarettes, laughing, and lazing in the sun. No conflicts, no borders. I want to know what it feels like to be part of this project, but I can't experience that directly. And then I have an idea. I ask her to sing what it feels like to be here. Now that, I understand. From Kampala, Uganda, I'm Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
The Nile Project musicians have played their music all over East Africa on two different concert tours, and now they've arrived here in the Bay Area. The Nile Project is performing tonight at Stanford and tomorrow night at UC Berkeley. This is Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. The sounds that come out of this Bay Area-born collaboration are pretty amazing, but Nile Project co-founder Macleet Hedero says the music is only the beginning. She joined me in studio to talk about how the project has grown since it first began.
When Mina and I first started the project, it was really all about cultural curiosity and connection and realizing how little we know each other along the river. As we started to delve into the research of what it would mean to actually create a project bringing musicians together from across the Nile, we quickly learned that the Nile Basin is in a process of renegotiating a lot of issues for itself. And it's also in the process of renegotiating how it shares its resources. So what we found very quickly was this musical project was actually embedded within a much larger conversation and a long political history of tension over how the water resources were going to be managed and developed. So we found the music became a platform for being able to look at how might we actually relate to each other that can have impacts beyond just the music, yet at the same time, how can the music itself be a model for the kinds of relationships that we want to see in the Nile Basin? So the ways that musicians listen and listen with kindness and openness, the processes of improvisation, the processes of how do you incorporate somebody else's perspective and somebody else's traditions and ways of communicating into your own when you're building something new together. Music was actually an incredible metaphor for this relationship that is going to grow and shift and change. And then on the other side of it, we imagined, well, if we can build this relationship, you know, what could our Nile Basin look like beyond water resource management? A connected Nile Basin, one where there were cultural relationships. Actually, then you get into the realm of imagining what's possible in the 21st century around development and all kinds of other issues. So it's a really exciting crux point between music, imagination, cultural imagination, but also development and the future of East Africa.
Which is all very huge.
It's huge.
So you went in.
We went in.
You went in thinking it was just a music project. And now, you know, you have all these other branches that really kind of come back to the same root and the same tree. How did you know what to tackle first? And what did you do? What did you start with?
Well, I think what to tackle first was a very difficult question because it is a huge idea and it's a huge project with potentially endless tentacles. What we wanted to start with was ultimately the music. And part of the reason was that, you know, when we would talk about this idea with people, the first thing they would say is, well, what does it sound like? And actually, it took us more than a year. It took us about a year and a half before we could even answer that question, because we first went on a scout trip and we did a Kickstarter for that. And Mina and I traveled to 5 Nile countries meeting musicians and trying to find out whether musicians would even be interested in a project like this. And once that was kind of under our belt, we could then start to look at the kind of broader concentric circles that came along with the music.
Which were?
Well, for example, education and workshops. We've ended up working primarily with university students and focusing our efforts both in East Africa as well as in the U.S. when we're going to be on tour here, when we are on tour here, on university students, because university students are kind of in this unique place where they're totally open to learning. They're engaging in all kinds of different disciplines, but they're also interested in how their learning directly applies to the world, mm-hmm. Which is a unique place in life.
And what is it exactly like, for example, what would you do at a university?
Well, so there would be a concert.
Oh, yeah.
there are opportunities to interact with the musicians, and there's also all kinds of workshops that go along with that.
You will be here in the Bay Area.
Yes, we will.
And you're coming to UC Berkeley and Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's going to happen?
So we have workshops on civic engagement and water resource management. We have both the concerts at Bing at Stanford, as well as at Zellerbach Hall. We have a symposium about music collaboration and water cooperation, and workshops on the Nile and African identity and food along the Nile. And we have a community music event being held that's going to be led by the Nile Project Collective. And there's 13 of us who are going to be performing in this project. And I have to say that, you know, it's been such a special experience to get together with this caliber of musicians with this level of a vision for what we want to do together. But beyond the ideas, there is such a basic joy and love that has developed between us. We really do feel like a family. And so what we're able to communicate, not just through the power of the music, but through the power of that connection, is something that's really special, and I think people are going to love it.
That was local musician Maclete Hadero talking about the Nile Project. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba, and we're going to close this show that features East Africa's diverse cultures with a Sudanese ritual. In Sudan, where my family's from, there's an ancient beauty ritual that married women perform called Dukhan. It's kind of like a sauna, but with smoke. At least every week, Sudanese wives shed their clothes, wrap themselves up in blankets, and sit on pits of burning aromatic woods in the privacy of their yards. Some Sudanese women have brought this tradition with them to the U.S. I attended a Dukhan right here in the Bay Area. And a note to our listeners, some of the names in the story have been changed for privacy. It's a sunny afternoon in the Bay Area, perfect for a barbecue of sorts. Yasmini Mom is stoking some coals on her kitchen stove.
So this is just regular charcoal?
This is just a regular charcoal, yes. This might take 10 to 15 minutes.
Imam then takes the glowing coals to her back porch and puts them in an empty flower pot. She covers the coals with aromatic acacia and sandalwood. Then she disrobes, sits on some piled up bricks, and uses a blanket to create a small tent. The sweet smoke billows around her body.
It's relaxing. I like the smell. I like the skin color it gives me. I become orange. That may sound weird, but it looks really nice, kind of like this. People here do it tan, like they call it tan, right? For us, Dukhan does the same thing as tan.
This tan is the tinting effect that acacia wood has when it's burned, and it's all part of a private beauty ritual called Dukhan. If you're from Sudan, you know it well. It's something many married women do at least weekly, and it's a long tradition in Imam's family.
It reminds me of my mom, my aunties, my grandma in Sudan. Just whenever I do Dukhan, it pulls me back all these memories. It's a warm feelings, you know. It's not the smell itself, but the feelings that the smells give you.
But Sudanese women say it's tough to keep up the tradition in the U.S. Back home, the setup involves burying a clay pot in a yard. But here, many Sudanese live in apartments without yards. So they'll improvise and burn the wood in paint cans while sitting on the toilet or over a pot in the kitchen. Smoke detectors are covered up with aluminum foil to keep the alarm from going off. There are stories about neighbors calling the fire department because they smelled smoke. And then there's the fact that Dukhan leaves you with a heavy, woody scent that lingers for days. Imam tells me about the time she was at the mall after doing Dukhan. A store she was in suddenly went into lockdown. A clerk smelled smoke.
So I hesitated. Should I tell her or I shouldn't? Because I saw the firemen inside the store. So I give her my hand. I said, can you smell my hand? That the smell? That's the smell? She said, yes, oh my God, this is what I smell. What is this?
Imam tried to explain why she smelled like burning wood, but the woman at the store didn't get it. She said,
what is that? Are you doing like black magic or what? How can you sit on fire? So I had to apologize and leave the store.
And some Sudanese immigrants say the beauty ritual just isn't practical here. I met Jamila Abdel Halim, a lawyer. She was having tea at a friend's house.
It's just that the smell, because I work, it's not intuitive for the job environment.
Another woman, Manal Abdurrahman, says she enjoys Dukhan only in Sudan.
In this country, I like to be like Americanized. When I go back home, I do it on a regular basis.
None of that is enough to convince a grandmother who's visiting from Sudan. She scolds the women, saying there's no excuse for not making Dukhan a priority. She says no matter where she's lived, she's never skipped her Dukhan. She implores the women to hold on to their heritage. Back at Yasmin Imam's house, I help her adjust her blanket while she sits broiling on her DIY Dukhan pit.
Yeah, oh my God, I love these feelings.
Under your chin.
Yeah, that's it.
It's been 30 minutes. Dripping with sweat, she sticks her foot out of her cover and shows me her heel. It's now golden orange, tinted by the acacia wood smoke. This, she says, is what it's all about.
I'm not missing out. First of all, I can tell my family I did Dukhan. They cannot like tease me. Oh, we did Dukhan. That's what they used to do a long time. Oh, we did Dukhan. We can do Dukhan too. We can bring Sudan here.
If you've got a special cultural ritual you'd like to share, email us at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter @KALW. Or, better yet, call us. The number is 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we are listener-supported public radio. And before we leave you, one more song. It's the East African anthem, recorded by Julie Kane when she visited a music class at Kambogo University in Uganda. Our team includes Olivia Cueva, Lila Day, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Christina Loring, Ted Muldoon, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, and Liza Veal. Chris Hoff engineered today's show. The line producer was Audrey Dilling. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Ababa.
Jumuiya yetu sote tuilinde.